Encouragement helps us try again. I like that one. It's great. Pastor Don Muma, he's sort of a larger-than-life person. He's used to getting positive comments in his preaching and sermons. So when a lady came up to him and after a sermon and complimented him, he said, "Thank you," and he went on his way. But when he got home, he began to think it over, and he realized the true meaning of her comment. She had said, "Oh, Reverend Muma, I just have to tell you that every sermon you preach is better than your next." Each sermon is better than your next. So it's all downhill from here. You know, we all like encouragement, don't we? We all need a pat on the back once in a while. We need a atta girl or, you know, "Good job, man. Way to go. Keep going." We need that encouragement. You know, those kinds of acknowledgments that help us on that long journey that we're on as followers of Christ. We need to be built up. It refreshes our attitudes to keep trying to take one more step. And for some of us, myself being one, encouragement helps us to thrive. So it's like premium fuel. You know, it's that encouragement that keeps us from sputtering and spitting and hopefully don't fall in the pool here. Keeps us striving, you know, and doing our peak performance, you know. So it's amazing how a little encouragement can spur us on and keep us going. So I want you to know about a couple of things. You may think, you know, "Pastor Tim, you're always talking about, you know, I need encouragement. I need a little amens once in a while," and those kinds of things. And you think, you know, you should be a little more self-confident. I think, you know, maybe, probably. But there's a couple of things that Cheryl knows about me you ought to know as well. I like encouragement, okay? I like it. Maybe you do too. I do. And secondly, I need encouragement. And most likely, if you're a human being, covers most of you, you need it too. We have been talking about encouragement over the last couple of weeks, and I have to say that I appreciate your words of encouragement, you know, to me, that you act upon those words that we've talked about. It's really great. But also, you know, thank you, church, for encouraging one another. I see you doing that. I hear about that. That is amazing. You are putting into practice what the scripture teaches us, encouraging one another. So thank you, church. Good job. Praise God. So if you plan on following Jesus, you know, all the way to your final breath, which I know that we're all desiring that, then whether you're brimming with confidence or wrestling with doubt and struggling right now, you need to hear these next words. Everybody, you all need to hear this. You need encouragement. Did you get that? You need encouragement. Do you know how I know this today? Not because I'm spying on you and finding out, ooh, that person needs some. No, actually, it's because the Bible tells us that we need encouragement. Therefore, it says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We all need encouragement until that very day we're united with Christ and see Him face to face. We need it. Come on, you can do it. Keep going. Try again. One more step. We're on the way together. We all need it. So all of us need encouragement. Who then is going to do it? Who's going to encourage that person sitting next to you today? Who's the one who's going to step in and give those words that God calls us to give? Guess who it is? It's us, right? We are. We're the ones who encourage one another. If if you fall asleep now after we're done right now in this part of the message, you know, you're so tired, you're hanging on, and you've been encouraged, and "Pastor Tim, I'm done now. Good night." If that's all you get so far, that you are the ones to encourage, that's enough. You can take that home. You can put that to work this week. And praise God, wonderful things will happen. Not just in your life, but in the life of people around you. But good news, you're all awake yet, so good. So we build one another up. We are God's encouragers to one another. So encourage. Do it. Last week we heard about how to encourage. You can go online at bethcub.org, click on the sermon, find out, listen to how you can encourage. It'll be up by Wednesday this week, and it's great, great stuff to know. You know, we learned about some of those things that could be being together, just being here. That's an encouragement to all of us. To me, it's an encouragement to you as well. We encourage each other, praying for each other. We don't wait. We just do it right there on the spot, using our spiritual gifts as examples for one another. God has gifted you to serve one another. That encourages us so much. Listening and following to the Holy Spirit and doing what you hear God saying and following God's word in the Bible. Somebody this week told me, I just need to know what the Bible says. Yes, that's encouraging. We do want to know what's in the Bible. So if you missed last week, go ahead and listen online. You'll hear how the church has been encouraging one another. And I have to say, I'm inspired, and I wrote it. So it is encouraging to see how you how you are encouraging one another. That wasn't in my notes, by the way. Now that we know that it is our role as encouragers, when do we do it? When do we encourage each other? Well, we encourage daily. Scripture says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. What day is it? Today. So we are called to encourage each other so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So right now we are to encourage. So when should we encourage? Right now. Give me a little encouragement. When should we encourage? Right now. There we go. All right. So are you good at giving encouragement? Pretty good, guys. Pretty good. Are you good at giving encouragement? If you were to rate yourself 1 to 5, where would you fall on the scale right now? Let's talk after church. So as we look around, you know, we're seeing more and more people, adults, students, kids in all areas of ministry, you know, learning and growing and trying new areas, stepping into new things, serving in new ways. You know, whether we're old or new, we need to encourage one another. It's wonderful to see all this, but it doesn't just happen. We encourage. We walk together. Every one of us needs that encouragement. Did you know life can be scary? It can, right? Ministry can be hard. If you stepped into some new kind of calling, man, you know there's roadblocks along the way. We need to keep trying and try again. You know, life can make us unsure. Following Jesus can be unusual at best. And maybe we think we shouldn't, but, you know, we sometimes get anxious. We get outright worried, don't we? Yeah, we need encouragement. You know, I remember Pastor Greg up here. When he was interviewing, you know, can you imagine standing in front of the whole church and people grilling you with questions, and somebody asked him, Pastor Greg, what's the most difficult thing you've ever done? And his response was very telling. He said, you mean besides standing here? Exactly. I mean, talk about tough. And yet, we all are stepping into those kinds of things, and we need to stand beside one another and walk with one another and encourage each other. We're all in new areas of life. We're all in new areas of following God and ministry. We're all in this constant state of change, and we all need a word of encouragement, and it comes from one another, right? You and me. So don't forget this. We might think other people have it all together, right? They look so good, they're doing wonderful, but, you know, everybody's unsure at some point. You know, and if some of us look more like we got it together more than others, we're just better at faking it. So we all need encouragement. So we're in it together. It's you and me together. So give your neighbor one of these. It's you and me together. Try that. You and me together. Does it help to know that we're in it together? You bet it does. Absolutely. You know, so these little instructions that, you know, I'm given, you know, tell your neighbor to be encouraged, give them one of these, you know, they may seem silly, but it's important because this is like real stuff. These are the things that we do as followers of Christ to be in it together, to encourage one another. So let me tell you that I know by experience, I've learned this the hard way. Being tough, you know, thinking that I've got it all together and I don't need anybody to build me up, you know, that just makes it tougher. That just makes life harder when we try to and we think that we can do it on our own. You know, we're not made to go it alone. We're not made that way. We're not created that way. In fact, God puts us together to be the body of Christ, to build one another up and to encourage. So that's what we do. So when do we encourage? Right now. There you go. So before you leave the building today, encourage someone. Do it. Just do it. Whoever it is. Shake them up and say, hey, be encouraged. Nicely, kindly. Does anybody have a favorite blanket? Maybe when you were younger. Maybe you still do. All right. So we had a son who had his blanket, favorite blanket. You know, if he forgot that thing and we went somewhere, it was terrible. His life was upside down. Do you know how that is? You know, but he had his blanket. Life is good. It's secure. You know, very comfortable. Anybody have a favorite food? Comfort food? Yeah? What is it? Chicken fried steak. That's a good one. Ice cream, right. Chicken and dumplings, man, I'm hungry. All right, what's yours? What? Macaroni, absolutely, really good, right? Comfort food. You know what my comfort food is? My comfort food is Cheerios. That's right. Yeah, what? I grew up on Cheerios ever since I was a little kid. I remember eating Cheerios, just the plain, not the sugar-free, not the honey, not none of that, just Cheerios. Awesome, yum. I fill up a big bowl of Cheerios when I'm feeling like I need a little comfort, pour on the milk, grab a big spoon, and sit down and just, I'm in my comfort zone, chewing on Cheerios. That is my comfort food. We go through a lot of Cheerios. I need a lot of comfort. Encouragement is like that. Encouragement brings us this kind of comfort that we need in our walk with Jesus. Paul talks about it in his letter in Philippians 2. He begins by saying, therefore, if you have any encouragement, last week we talked about this word, paraklesis, any encouragement in the Bible. It talks about, you know, encouraging, comforting, strengthening. So if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, so this comes from that familiar life together, through Christ, in Christ. If we're with Christ, then we have this kind of encouragement. It actually says it this way, if you have, and we know you already do, therefore. It's kind of like answering the question. You have been encouraged by this life in Christ. So we don't think about encouragement as comfort so much. We don't think about it as our security blanket. But the Bible talks about it that way. You know, Matthew 5, when Jesus is preaching this great Sermon on the Mount, he says this, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's the word, encouraged. Amazing. So when we grieve, when we doubt, when we're lost and we're not sure what way to go in our walk with Jesus, we need comfort. We need encouragement. We need reminders that we're not alone. God is with us. And guess what? The church is walking with us. It's hard, I know, to encourage each other when things are difficult, when someone's grieving and going through a tough time. What do you say? I know, it's hard. But you know what? Sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just need to be present. We just need to let people know that they're not alone in this dark valley that they're walking, that there is hope, that there is encouragement, that there is comfort. We know it. We felt it. We've received it from God and from each other. And we can give it. God's made us that way. So how do we do this? Well, the Apostle Paul says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You know, there's a lot of words in there, a lot of comfort, but the thing is this. If you have received comfort from God, which you have as a follower of Jesus, if you've walked through a difficult time, a difficult place, a deep, dark valley, and have come out the other side, or you're in the middle of it, but you know you're not alone, then guess what? This amazing miracle has happened in your life. God has equipped you to comfort someone else. May not feel like you got it all together, no way, but you're equipped by God to bring comfort to someone else. So let me encourage you again, some of the things I've heard about our church. I've heard that people say something like this. You know, your church is willing to come alongside someone in their time of grief and, you know, do a funeral or walk with them or, you know, allow them to use your church for what's needed. Some of you make a dinner or a meal for someone who doesn't belong to the church, and they experience that comfort that comes from God's people, from God, because you are willing to step out and provide that hospitality and grace that people don't necessarily find in this world. And guess what? It's a huge comfort, far more than you realize. You allow me to go do memorial services and things like that when someone doesn't have a pastor, and I'm allowed to step in, and you let me do that, and that brings comfort to other people. So thank you for being the church that cares for their community. And thank you for being a church that cares for each other. Thank you for being a church that comforts, encourages. It's pretty amazing. You and I, we get to be Cheerios, don't we? Be a Cheerio. Billy Graham tells of a time during his early years of preaching ministry when he was doing a crusade in a small town, and he needed to mail a letter, so he asked the little boy on Main Street where the post office was. And after the boy had given him directions, Billy Graham said, "If you come to the Central Baptist Church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the boy replied, "No thanks. You don't even know how to get to the post office." So when we're talking about something powerful and deep, that wasn't it, by the way. But that encouragement that we give in Christ, that is, come to the one who can give hope, who can give encouragement, and that is Jesus. We quickly realize that this is the premium fuel that causes our flourishing. The apostle says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind." So as Paul goes on, we hear this idea that we have received encouragement, we have received comfort, we are united in Christ, we have been sharing in the Spirit, we do know that tenderness and compassion that comes from the gospel, we are like-minded, we have that same love, we have that one Spirit, so then guess what? We are to live it, to be it, to do it, to encourage one another. When we recognize this encouragement that we have, we begin to experience this unity of the Spirit, that we are there for each other, that somehow, divinely orchestrated, we have become this one body of Christ who is called to serve each other. And the way that works, the way that comes about, is this simple little word that ignites that Spirit's power, and that is humility. Humility. You know, some people don't see humility as that good of a thing, to lower yourself to serve others. You know, we got to climb up and get on the top and rule. But, you know, the gospel is different. It calls us to something unique. It calls us to humble ourselves in humility. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, when we are followers of Jesus, we follow Jesus' example. Paul says in Romans 12, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." So how do you respond when someone sacrifices for you? How do you feel? You know, I had a pastor friend, Pastor Mike, a great friend, love him very much. When we were going on ministry leave, he said, "Hey, Pastor Tim, I have this little pop-up camper. It needs some work, but you can go ahead, fix it up, and then just don't bring it back." And I said, "Oh, well, that isn't right." I said, "We'd be glad to use it, but you don't have to give it to us." He says, "No, we want to give it to you." And I'm like, "You know, Pastor Mike, why do you want to give this? What do you have in mind here? Why do you want to give this to me?" And he said, "Tim, we love, Connie and I love you and Cheryl, And we want to bless you. We want to encourage you. So please receive it. You know, wow, that inspires me to want to be like Mike. I want to encourage others. So how do we respond to that way? How far do we go in putting others' interests above ourselves? You know, as my mom would say, you know, we don't want to give away the farm, right? But how far do we go? I found this little description. I think it's helpful. Maybe it will be to you. The believer should not neglect the welfare of himself and his family in order to involve himself in the good of others. What Paul is calling for is a Christian concern that's wide enough to include others in its scope. When each member of the Christian community exercises this mutual concern for each other, problems of disunity quickly disappear. So, yeah, we look after ourselves, our families. That's biblical, that's scriptural. But we open that scope up wide enough to include others. And when we all do that as the Church of Christ, then God's Spirit is unleashed, that spirit of unity, that spirit of humility, the power of the gospel. So how far do we go? Well, we're always talking about pointing to Jesus, right? So I'm just going to say, don't go any farther than Jesus would go in serving others. In your relationship with one another, the apostle says, have the same mindset as Jesus. We aren't Jesus, but we can have his mindset. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So he humbled himself, not only becoming like us as human beings, but by giving his life on the cross in the most humiliating, excruciating death possible, so that we could have life. But then comes the ultimate encouragement. We need to hear this and receive this. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every on heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's the amazing thing, that victory follows Jesus' humiliation. And for us, when we humble ourselves, when we serve one another, when we encourage and love one another, victory follows. It's an amazing truth of the gospel. We humble ourselves, Jesus steps in, victory follows. Christ is exalted, Jesus is honored. I'm just going to wrap up here. There was an exercise we did in our DC confirmation class a few weeks ago. We did a little timeline about how God had been at work in our lives. And so the students kind of recorded some of those points where they remember, you know, spiritual markers. And somebody had left theirs on the pew, so I grabbed it. And the next day, I opened it up and started looking at it. And there was these markers along the way, you know, coming to church, recognizing that God loves us, going to Sunday school, you know, hearing those words over and over. And then at the end of this timeline, you know, like towards the last year or so, it said this. It just simply ended with, I gave my life to Jesus. You know, and that's powerful, isn't it? That is encouraging. When we see Christ's victory, when we encourage one another all the way to faith in Jesus, to trusting in the cross, and to being forgiven and having new life. Let's pray. Lord, we are so encouraged by one another here today, all these things we've discussed, but Lord, ultimately, man, we just stand back in awe at what you have done for us, Lord, that you allowed yourself to be nailed to a cross, to die, so that we might have forgiveness of sins and new life in you. Lord, that we would know your love, that we would know your encouragement, that we would know your comfort, and Lord, that we would know the freedom of living our lives for you and serving others. And so, Lord, today we once again renew that covenant, that commitment, if for the first time or even for the fifth time or tenth time. Lord, forgive us. I believe in you. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, for me, for us. Thank you, Lord, that you fill us with your Spirit and give us new life and hope for the days ahead. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in eternal life in you. Let us encourage one another with these words. In Jesus' name, amen.